is entitled What the Book of Mormon Has to Say About the Eternal State. It answers questions that are often asked and gives views from the Book of Mormon. It is not a study about the Book of Mormon or opinions about the Book of Mormon, but it is actual scriptures taken from the Book of Mormon. So as you take your Book of Mormon and read it, we will give reference number and then read the actual verse itself. There are so many opinions, and sometimes you hear that Mormons believe that there are 3 degrees of glory, but no hellfire. Some that there is a hellfire, but only the devil and his angels can go there. Some say that a just God would not send a man to hell. So we will go through scriptures in the Book of Mormon and read them, and I ask you to take your book and study along with me as we go. As you open the Book of Mormon, the very first page, the bottom of the page, it says a promise to Book of Mormon readers. The scripture is given, Moroni chapter 10 verse 4. And then it says, also read verses 27 to 34 inclusive. And this is the challenge, which I read. I did this study before, and at that time all of the references in the Book of Mormon were given by page number and verse number. And the last few years of the church has changed the policy and are now giving the references by book, chapter, and verse, like the references from the Holy Bible. So these will be by book. I, however, will give you the page number, but this is only good for the older Books of Mormon. Mine was published in 1950. So on page 520, Moroni, chapter 10, verse 4, and when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. So the challenge is to pray. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask your special blessing upon everyone that listens to this study and goes through it. Lord, we ever seek your face and we seek truth. And I pray that everyone that studies this will have an open heart to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us a revelation of your very presence. We pray that your grace and your mercy will be upon each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He goes on after this challenge in verse 27 to say, and I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh, that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord God will say unto you, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like as one crying from the dead, yea, even as one speaking out of the dust? I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies, and behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from generation to generation. And God shall show unto you that which I have written is true. And again, I would exhort you that ye would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gift, nor the unclean thing, and awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal Father, which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in. Hallelujah. You are free to act. It's that plain. That's the teaching of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read it again. Verse 23 of 2 Nephi, chapter 10. Therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. I have a friend that is performing a wedding, and the young man just flew back from Vietnam. This was a number of years ago. He did all right in the rehearsal, but on the wedding day, he was just spaced out. And when the official performing the wedding asked, "Do you take this woman to be your wedded wife?" said, for better, for worse, he was glassy-eyed. Finally, minister said, for better, worse, and he looked startled. He said, for better. Everybody laughed, and he said, for better, for worse. He said, for better. I said, for better. So he went on and said, richer or poor? Richer. Sickness or health? Health. And by that time, everybody was laughing in the ditches. Well, I laughed. I said he thought it was multiple choice, but at least he was asking, making the right decisions. Well, that's the way it is with me and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my testimony concerning Jesus Christ, that I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. When they said Jesus or Satan, I said Jesus. When I heard the gospel of our kind Heavenly Father, and they said, heaven or hell, I said heaven. When they said saved or lost, I said saved. Shall descend into it. One thing concerns me, and that is the number who say, I believe the Book of Mormon, I believe Joseph Smith is the prophet, and they deny believing that there's a hell, or that there's fire in hell, or that it is literal fire. Here he says the people are destroyed because for the lack of knowledge. And the goal is to dig into the Book of Mormon and see exactly what it says, that you may know. And I am currently working on a list of Mormons who openly state, I do not believe in fire and hell. I do not believe that. I believe in 3 degrees of glory. Now, not all Mormons hold that position. But I want to show you that if you hold that position, then you are in error in relationship to the Book of Mormon. And the danger of this is that it is written that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And there are in these last days not only Mormons, but people in nearly every church who make claims of Jesus Christ, and yet they do not serve him. In fact, they often take his name in vain and blaspheme the name of Jesus and do not serve him. And Jesus said, there will be those that say, on the judgment day, Lord, Lord, I've prophesied in your name, and in your name done many wonderful works. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I now invite your attention to go to page 18 in the Book of Mormon, and we'll start this study concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Book of Mormon declares openly the virgin birth. 1 Nephi 11, verse 18, and he said unto me, behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God after the manner of the flesh. And in going on in Nephi, 1 Nephi 11, verse 21, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father, knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? Verse 24, the Son of God going forth among the children of men, and I saw many fall down at his feet to worship him. So the Book of Mormon teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin. Verse 27, I looked and beheld the Redeemer of the world, of whom my father had spoken. So it teaches that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the world. I also beheld the prophet who should prepare the way before him, and the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after he was baptized, I beheld the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost come down out of the heaven and abide upon him in the form of a dove. So this is the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, and the confirmation, the Holy Spirit coming down out of heaven, the form of a dove, and God testifying that this is his Son. Then on down in verse 31, the testimony that this Jesus would be a healer, and teaching of divine healing. Verse 31, and he spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God going forth among the children of men. And I beheld multitudes of people who were sick, and who were afflicted with all manner of diseases, and with devils and unclean spirits. And the angel spake and showed all these things unto me. They were healed by the power of the Lamb of God, and the devils and the unclean spirits were cast out. Came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God, that he was taken by the people, yea, the Son of the everlasting God, was judged of the world, and I saw and bear record. Now Nephi is giving this testimony, verse 33, and I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted up on the cross, and slain for the sins of the world. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He was the Son of God. He came into the world, prophet and healer and redeemer of the world. We have read this from the pages of the Book of Mormon, that he was obedient unto water baptism by immersion, and that when he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and that the Father declared him his Son. Then that he was a divine healer. Then it clearly says that he died upon the cross, was lifted up on the cross, and slain for the sins of the world. And after he was slain, I saw the multitudes of the earth, that they were gathered together to fight against the apostles of the Lamb. For this were the 12 called by the angel of the Lord. So he goes on and projects into the future ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. Then, as we go to 1 Nephi 14, again we see Jesus, the Son of God. In verse 40, that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. So here we learn from the Book of Mormon that salvation is in Jesus Christ, and all must come to him and be saved. He goes on in verse 41, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. As we move on to chapter 14, going on, and it's a long passage about the Son of God. It says in verse 2, they shall be no more brought down into captivity, and the house of Israel shall no more be confounded, and that great pit which hath been digged for them by the great and abominable church, which was founded by the devil and his children, that he might lead away the souls of man down to hell. So here it's not devils and demons, fallen angel, but it's men that are deceived by the devil, lead men down to hell, yea, that great pit which hath been digged for the destruction of man shall be filled by those who digged it unto their utter destruction, saith the Lamb of God. Not the destruction of the soul, save it be the casting of it into that hell, which hath no end. So he discusses, is this hell just for the body, or is it for the body and the soul? And he makes it clear, and we'll go on to many other scriptures, for behold, this is according to the captivity of the devil, and also according to the justice of God, upon all those who will work wickedness and abomination before him. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, Nephi, saying, thou hast beheld that if the Gentiles repent, it shall be well with them. And thou also knowest concerning the covenants of the Lord unto the house of Israel, and thou also hast heard that whosoever repenteth not shall perish. So it calls everyone to repentance, and says if they repent not, they shall perish. Then in verse 12, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, who also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth, were small because of the wickedness of the great whore who I saw. And he does not speak kindly of false churches. Verse 14, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. We go then to 1 Nephi, chapter 15, going back to verse 13, and now the thing which our father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentile, is that in the latter days, when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years, and many generations after the Messiah shall be manifest in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. On down at the end of the verse, they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer, the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. So by studying the gospel, you come to those points of the doctrine and know how to be saved. Saved from what? He makes it very clear. Saved from sin, saved from the wickedness of the last days, and saved from the powers of hell. Verse 19, yea, I spake unto them concerning the restoration of the Jews in the latter days. And he makes it very clear. Many scriptures, we don't have time to go into them, that Israel will be restored as a nation in Jerusalem, and the restoration of the Jews. And we follow that in the news day by day. He goes on in verse 20, and I did rehearse unto them the words of Isaiah, who spake concerning the restoration of the Jews, or of the house of Israel, after they were restored, they should no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again. So he talks about restoration, a lot about restoration. And then as we go to Nephi 15, verse 28, I said unto them that it was an awful gulf which separated the wicked from the tree of life, and also from the saints of God. And I said unto them that it was a representation of that awful hell which the angel said unto me was prepared for the wicked. See, it was prepared, he says, for the devil and his angel, but then it was also prepared for wicked man. And if you believe the Book of Mormon, you must believe that a just God will send wicked men to hell, and that Jesus came to save people from hell. And it's clearly taught that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And from these teachings, I call you that claim Christ, claim the church, and yet you live in sin, and blaspheme the name of Jesus, and take the name of Jesus in vain, and mix it with the cesspool language of the world, that you obey the Book of Mormon, and repent, and turn to Christ, and live godly, and that there is a hell, and the wicked will go to hell, and Jesus died on the cross to save them. Verse 31, they said unto me, doth this thing mean the torment of the body in the days of probation, or doth it mean the final state of the soul after death? That's very plain. Of the temporal body, or doth it speak of the things which are temporal? And it came to pass that I said unto them that it was a representation of things both temporal and spiritual. For the day should come that they must be judged of their works, yea, even the whole works which were done by the temporal body in their day of probation. Oh, some people say the judgment day doesn't bother me. Well, dear friend, it bothers me. And it is clearly taught in the Book of Mormon that every man will stand before Jesus Christ and give account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And at the very best a man can live, I still tremble at the thought of giving account before God. Verse 33, wherefore if they should die in their wickedness, they must be cast off also as the things which are spiritual, which are pertaining to righteousness. Wherefore, they must be brought to stand before God, to be judged of their works. And if their works have been filthiness, they must needs be filthy. And if they be filthy, it must needs be that they cannot dwell in the kingdom of God. If so, the kingdom of God must be filthy also. And of course, that cannot be that the kingdom of heaven be filthy. And so he makes a strong point. Verse 34, but behold, I say unto you, the kingdom of God is not filthy, and there cannot any unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God. Wherefore, there must needs be a place of filthiness prepared for that which is filthy. And there is a place prepared, yea, even that awful hell of which I have spoken, and the devil is the foundation of it. Wherefore, the final state of the souls of men is to dwell in the kingdom of God, or to be cast out, because of that justice of which I have spoken it. You say, where are you getting this? Right here in the Book of Mormon, in 1 Nephi, chapter 15. And it makes it very plain. Oh, if you are living in wickedness, and you think that because you belong to the church, that all will be covered, that is not true. The Book of Mormon makes it very plain. You must repent of your sins, and forsake your sin, and serve Jesus Christ. Or, if you continue in your filthiness, you will be cast into what is called here that awful hell. And as a teacher of the things of Jesus Christ, I beg of you to take honest consideration of your own soul and to turn to Jesus Christ and put your faith in him and trust in him. In 1 Nephi, going on, skipping a number of pages, page 47, 1 Nephi 22, wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all nations in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. He talks about further the regathering of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity. They shall be gathered together to the land of their inheritance. They shall be brought out of obscurity, out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. Verse 14, and every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. They shall fall into the pit which they dig to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore who hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church, shall tumble into the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. So he goes into last day prophecies of the judgment of the nations. For behold, saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily, that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they who do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day cometh that they must be burned. That's very clear, very clear. The day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of man, for he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. So it's clear that there is punishment, there's destruction, there is fire. Yes, there is fire. Later he tells us eternal fire, not temporary fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if so be by fire. And he's talking about those who are barely saved, but their works are burned up. But because of their faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, they are saved. Behold, verse 18, behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come, and it must needs be upon the face of this earth, and it cometh unto man according to the flesh, if so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. Verse 20, and the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people unto the fulfilling of the words of Moses, which he spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all those who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off among the people. Of course, this is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Moses prophesied that there would come a prophet greater than he. And then we find in the scriptures that this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness. And the righteous need not fear, for they are those who shall be not be confounded. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men. Which kingdom is established among them that are in the flesh? For the time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up to get gain, and all those who are built up to get power over the flesh, and those who are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, And those who seek the lusts of the flesh and the things of the world, and to all manner of iniquity, yea, in fine, all those who belong to the kingdom of the devil, are they who need fear and tremble and quake. They are those who must be brought low in the dust. They are those who must be consumed as stubble, and this according to the words of the prophet. So people say, well, I belong to the church. And you should belong. You should belong to the church. You should have a church. You should have a church home. But here, he says those that are in the church for a different reason. To get gain. Those that are in the church to get power. Power over the flesh. Those that are in the church for popularity. Popularity in the eyes of the world. Those who are in the church to seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world, do all manner of iniquity. Those, he says, they may be in the church, but actually belong to the kingdom of the devil. Oh, it is very plain. The time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves to the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. Verse 26, he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. So he talks about gathering Satan and the powers of the wicked and dealing with the devil, and goes into last day prophecy. Verse 28, but behold, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they will repent. Again and again, he calls to repentance, turning away from sin, repenting of your sin, confessing your sin to Jesus Christ. And he ends this book by saying, if ye shall be obedient to the commandments and endure to the end, ye shall be saved at the last day. Oh, how exciting to listen Nephi 1, verse 13. Oh, that ye would awake from the deep sleep, yea, even from the sleep of hell, and shake off the awful chain by which we are bound, which are the chains which bind the children of men, that they are carried away captive down to the eternal gulf of misery and woe. He talks about eternal gulf, eternal fire, eternal hell, and eternal destruction. It may be interest to you that there are some think that the Bible teaches hell fire, which it does, but the Book of Mormon does not. That is very erroneous teaching. There is far more hell fire, both preached and described in detail in the Book of Mormon, than there is in the Holy Bible. And I think that's very important for us to know and to understand. In verse 17 he says, I have feared, lest for the hardness of your heart the Lord your God should come out in fullness of his wrath upon you, that ye be cut off and destroyed forever, or that a cursing should come upon you. Verse 20, that inasmuch as ye should keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land, but inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandment, ye shall be cut off from my presence. Now that my soul might have joy in you, and that my heart might leave this world with gladness because of you, that I might not be brought down with grief and sorrow to the grave, arise from the dust, my sons, and be men, and be determined in one mind and in one heart, united in all things, that ye may not come down into captivity, that ye may not be cursed with the sore cursing, and also that ye may not incur the displeasure of a just God upon you unto the destruction, yea, the eternal destruction of both soul and body. So we are teaching here what the Book of Mormon teaches about life after death. And he makes it very, very clear. in 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 4, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for the fall of man, and salvation is free. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. And the law is given unto man, and by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perish from that which is good, and become miserable forever. Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth." So the Book of Mormon teaches that it's not by the works of the law, but it's by faith in the Holy Messiah, which, of course, we know that is our Heavenly Father, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. "Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law, unto all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah, who layeth down his life according to the flesh, taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise." So he teaches the death of Jesus Christ for the atonement of sin, the power of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and was the first fruits of the resurrection. Going on in verse 9, "Wherefore he is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch as he shall make intercession for all the children of man, and they that believe on him shall be saved." Oh, dear student, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your faith in him? You say, "My faith is in the church." It should be in the scriptures. It should be in the church. But the church can't save you, and neither can the scriptures. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. And it's your faith in him. And this, in this, the Book of Mormon makes it very clear. And so Satan is very subtle when he deceives us to think, because we're a member of the church, we're automatically saved. You can be a church member and go to heaven. You can be a church member and be lost in hell. I'm teaching from the Book of Mormon. I beg you to reason and read these scriptures and see if I'm not getting them from this book. Well, I hope you can say, "Thank God, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And so, in chapter 2, down at verse 21, he says that all men must repent, for he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents, and that it is only through repentance and accepting Jesus Christ that you're saved. Verse 26, "And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall." Verse 27, "And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil, for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like himself." And then he goes on to say, verse 29, "and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh, and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. I have met so many, oh so many, and I am undertaking to make a list of names and addresses of people who have been deceived And they say, I don't believe in hell. I'm writing it down. I'm taking the testimony from their lips. And they say, no, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in hell. I believe in 3 degrees of glory. And they're deceived. These same people are not serving Jesus Christ. But here, and this is from the Book of Mormon. And he cries out and says, you are free to choose liberty and eternal life, or to go down to hell and to choose hell. I'm talking from 2 Nephi 2. And if you say, I believe the Book of Mormon, then you have to believe this. And if you don't believe this, then you don't believe the Book of Mormon. And you can say, heresy, heresy. No, if you call this heresy, then you're calling the Book of Mormon heresy. And I ask you, from an honest heart, from a man, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the question of my life, oh, eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity, and what will you do with Jesus? And I call you to come to Jesus. Don't shut your mind. Don't shut your heart. Please don't go away from this moment of consideration without saying, Jesus, my faith is in you. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood for my sin. I believe, Lord Jesus, that they buried you in the cold gray tomb, and that the third day you rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that you appeared to many as the Scripture teach. I believe that after 40 days you went up on the Mount of Olives and gave the last commandments, that you would return again and that you would go to the Father and you would send the Holy Spirit. I believe on the day of Pentecost you sent the Holy Spirit and kept your word. And I believe that soon, very soon, you will come to earth again. I believe that. I repent of my sin. I put my faith in you and your atoning blood and your saving grace. And I give heed to this teaching from the Book of Mormon, that I am free to choose liberty in Jesus Christ, or turn my back on Jesus and choose what the Book of Mormon calls hell, the fires of hell. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll give us all that blessed assurance the Scriptures call, that we know we're the Son of God, and there's not a doubt about it. Well, these are powerful, powerful words, and I pray that God will soften your heart to give heed to them, lest you perish. In 2 Nephi 4, there's a long, long prayer. I think you should read it. Nephi makes a prayer out of great compassion. And I'll cut in verse 17. He says, the great goodness of the Lord is showing me his great and marvelous work. My heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am! Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of my iniquity. See, Nephi was praying and crying out of anguish of soul to God, O wretched man that I am. He's repenting of his sin. He's crying out to God. He said, I am encompassed about because of temptation and the sins which do so easily beset me. In verse 24, he says, I have waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. And he does pray a powerful prayer here. Verse 31, O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me? See, if Nephi can pray, O God, forgive me my sin, redeem my soul, deliver me, and shut the gates of hell, as far as I'm concerned, I never want to go through the gates of hell. And I'll tell you, that's the way I feel about it. The gates of hell. Verse 33, make a way for mine escape. Verse 34, O Lord, I have trusted in thee. I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh. For I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh the flesh of his arm. So he says, I'm not going to trust in my works. I'm not going to trust in the works of the arm of my flesh, but I'm going to trust in thee because I want to be saved. I want to escape the fires of hell. And I'll tell you, that's my feeling. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I never want to lose my soul in the fires and the flames of hell. Well, in 2 Nephi 9, he goes into a long discussion about the state of the dead and after we die. Verse 4, for I know that ye have searched much, many of you, to know the things to come. Wherefore, I know that ye know that our flesh must waste away and die. Nevertheless, in our bodies we shall see God. See, he was teaching the resurrection of the body. Not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection of the body. And he goes into great detail that both the righteous and the wicked have a resurrection. They all are resurrected. And they stand before Jesus Christ and are judged. And for those who haven't accepted Jesus and aren't saved by the grace of God and by his merit, then they are cast body and soul back into hell. But those on the judgment day that have accepted Jesus Christ, then they go into heaven. You say, well, I believe in 3 degrees of glory. Well, these things are, the things of heaven are for those who are redeemed in Jesus Christ. And it's very important that you see that, because human mankind being what it is, and the heart of man being what it is, says, well, if there are 3 degrees of glory, I'll take my chances. I'll just go to the lowest degree of glory. That can't be all bad. But see, the Book of Mormon teaches that for those without Jesus Christ, those without serving him and putting their trust in him, they don't go to a lowest degree of glory. They go into the fires of hell. Verse 10, he says, oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of the awful monster, yea, that monster, death and hell, which I call death of the body, also death of the spirit. And because of the way of deliverance of our God, the Holy One of Israel, this death of which I have spoken, which is the temporal, shall deliver up its dead, which death is the grave. And this death which I have spoken, which is the spiritual death, shall deliver up its dead, which spiritual death is hell. Wherefore death and hell must deliver up the dead, and hell must deliver up its captive spirits, and the grave must deliver up its captive bodies, and the bodies of the spirits of man will be restored one to another, and it is by the power of the resurrection of the Holy One of Israel. How great is the plan of our God. For on the other hand, the paradise of God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the grave deliver up the body of the righteous. Listen to this. Of the righteous, and the spirit and the body is restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible and immortal, and they are living souls, have a perfect knowledge like unto us in the flesh, save it be that our knowledge shall be perfect. Wherefore we shall have a perfected knowledge of our guilt and our uncleanness and our nakedness, and the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment, and their righteous being clothed with purity, yea, even with the robe of righteousness. Well, you need to study this out. What he's saying here is both the wicked who have died and gone to hell will have a resurrection and come out of hell and stand before Jesus Christ. The righteous who have died and buried, and their spirit is gone to be with the presence of the Lord, their body will be resurrected and their soul will be united, and they'll stand before God. Then he goes on to say, it shall come to pass that when all men shall have passed from the first death unto life, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel, and then cometh the judgment. Then must they be judged according to the holy judgment of God. And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord has spoken it, and it is his eternal word, which cannot pass away, that they who are righteous shall be righteous still, and they who are filthy shall be filthy still. Wherefore they who are filthy are the devil and his angels, and they shall go away into everlasting fire, prepared for them, and their torment is as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever, and has no end. All you see, it's just the devil and his angels. Oh, no, we're not through yet. He hasn't finished this. And it's those that are deceived by the devil also. And if you're filthy when you stand before God, when you're resurrected in the body and you stand before him, and you're resurrected and you're filthy, the Bible says you will be filthy still. You will be eternally filthy. Oh, it is while there's breath in your mouth, the scriptures say, today is the day of salvation. So he goes on to say, oh, the greatness and justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold the righteousness of the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of the world, despise the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and the joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he delivereth his saints from the awful monster, the devil, and death, and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment, everlasting torment. Think of it, endless torment. Oh, I've had so many say that Book of Mormon doesn't teach hellfire. Oh, it's full of hellfire. And the object always is repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men, if they will hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature. So Jesus suffered on the cross. Goes on to say, suffered that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at that great judgment day. And he commandeth all men, verse 23, he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name. Have you repented? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? They must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name, and be baptized in his name, and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. You say, you sound like a Bible-thumping preacher on television. I don't know what I sound like, but I'm reading this out of the Book of Mormon. And this is what the Book of Mormon says. And it says, either you'll be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right here. And if you have your Book of Mormon open, cast your eyeballs that way. They must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. Are you saved? Are you lost? Are you living for Jesus? Two ways. Heaven or hell, which will it be? Jesus Christ, what will it be? Will you accept him or will you reject him? Will you serve him or will you deny him? Will you be proud to own his name or will you turn your back in shame? Wherefore he is given a law, verse 25, and where there is no law given, there is no punishment. Where there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. And where there is no condemnation, the mercies of the Holy One of Israel have claim upon them because of the atonement, for they are delivered by the power of him. For the atonement satisfieth the demands of his justice upon all those who have not the law given to them, that they are delivered from that awful monster, death and hell and the devil, and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. I ask you again, does the Book of Mormon teach hellfire? Oh, we've barely scratched the surface. In verse 34, woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto the murderer who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. Woe unto them who commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Yea, woe unto those that worship idols, for the devil and all devil delighteth in them. And in fine, woe unto those who die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold his face and remain in their sins. Oh, my beloved, verse 39, oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the Holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticing of the cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Oh, my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you, for if you do, you will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness. But the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. You say, well, nobody talks to me this way. Well, I don't know how you interpret it, but I am reading from the Book of Mormon. And these things are written in the Book of Mormon. And this is what the Book of Mormon teaches. In 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 23, therefore cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of everlasting life. That's what it says. You're free. You're free to choose. And right now, I ask you to choose. This is lesson one. I hope you listen to lesson two and go on, because we're only on page 73 of over 500 pages in the Book of Mormon. And all of this points the way to Jesus Christ in heaven. I pray that you'll open your heart and accept Jesus into your heart. Therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourself. Right now you're free. It's not your grandmother, grandfather, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, but you are free to act. Free to act. I want to read it again. 2 Nephi, chapter 10, verse 23. The Book of Mormon says, therefore cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves. Yes, that's it. Free to act for yourself. I'm going to tell you this story again, as I told it to you before, about my friend performing a wedding ceremony. In a wedding ceremony. The young man was just back from Vietnam. He did all right during the rehearsal, but on the wedding day, he was about spaced out, glassy-eyed. My friend, going through the vows with him, said, do you take this woman to be your wedded wife? As he was taking the vows of conditional acceptance, and the conditions said, for better, for worse, he didn't respond. He said, for better, for worse. Finally, he jerked. He said, for better. Everybody laughed. He said, for better, for worse. He said, I said, for better. So he went on and said, sickness or health. He said, health. Said, rich or poor? Richer. I laughed. I said, well, the poor nit, At least it was making the right decisions. That's the way it is with me and the Lord Jesus. This is my testimony concerning our kind Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. They said to me, Jesus or Satan? And I said, Jesus. They said, Christian or sinner? I said, Christian. They said, heaven or hell? I said, heaven. They said, saved or lost? I said, saved. Right or wrong? I said, right. No, I ask you, as you hear the sound of my voice, what would your decision be? I made it as the motto of my life and the crowning rule of the teaching of the things of God, to ever keep this question before me. I've asked it, I suppose, thousands of times, and I ask it of you today. Oh, eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity, and what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you accept him, or will you reject him? Will you serve him, or will you disobey him? What will it be on the judgment day when you stand before him and his eyes are like blow torches burning into your soul? When he opens his mouth to speak, the universe rumbles and thunders. The books of life are opened, and the scriptures say you're judged out of the book, things written in the books, whether they be good or bad. And any man whose name is not found written in the book of life shall have his part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me pray with you, and you say yes to this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Forgive me of every sin, from the time I was a tiny child to now. I accept you as my Savior. I'll serve you all the days of my life. Write my name in your book. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I hope you listen to part two of these lessons on what the Book of Mormon has to say about the state of the dead and eternity. And I want to see you in heaven. Don't goof off and miss it. No, don't goof off and miss it. In a nutshell, we have studied that Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost, that he is the only begotten Son of God, that he died on the cross to make atonement for our sins and our soul, that there is no other way than to repent of our sins and accept him as a Savior. We studied from the Book of Mormon that he was dead and buried, and the third day he arose from the grave, the first resurrection, the first fruits of the resurrection, that he appeared to many. Then he went to the Mount of Olives with his disciples. He had been 40 days revealing himself to men. He made two promises. He promised that he would come again, but he promised he was going back to his Father, and that when he went back, he would send the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. We studied that he kept that promise. We also studied from the Book of Mormon, when he started his ministry, he went down, was baptized by John in the River of Jordan, and that the Holy Spirit came upon him as the form of a dove, and the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we studied from the Book of Mormon that you're free to choose. I prayed with you before, but I want to pray again. Lord Jesus, be with all of those that have listened to this lesson. May they make that choice which will guide them to you in eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.